Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Minnehaha County Sheriff Mike Milstead says the time has come to expand the jail facilities in his county. I sat down with Milstead and Chief Deputy Michelle Boyd to talk about the last time Minnehaha County built a jail, how the department projected today's need for future jail beds, and how criminal justice reform changes the picture for the future.
We actually started the process about 13 years ago and moved into the facility about 10 years ago, and the numbers that were projected were spot on. We knew that during that period of about 10 years that we would fill up all the beds in the jail with regular Minnehaha County inmates and would no longer be able to house other jurisdiction inmates like the federal government inmates from the Marshal Service or neighboring counties, and we're there. And so the person who did that projection was spot on. We've had that projection done again, knowing that the current jail would be full at about now, and have the estimate for the next 10 to 15 years, and it comes at the same time that we need to replace the Community Correction Center on West Russell, which is an aging former Elks Club, never built as a correctional facility, and is really at the point that it needs a bulldozer more than it needs anything else.
What happens when a jail is full? When you say it's full, does that mean it's actually full on a daily basis and you have no room, or is that a, metaphorically speaking?
Well, when a jail's full, actually, when you're at about 85% of your capacity, and the reason that is there's two other factors that have to come into play. One's called a peaking factor and the other's called a classification factor, and that's because in a jail, we don't have round pegs for round holes for everybody. So if I have, let's say, 8 women in a 16-bed unit and I don't have any more women inmates, I can't move, 8 men in there to fill up those other beds. So just by the classification of inmates, medium, maximum, high-risk people, suicidal people, isolated people, you just never have the right mix to be able to fill all the beds with the right people. So we're really full around that 350 inmate mark in our downtown jail, and we've been reaching over 400 at times. We're kind of in the holiday season now, so we're at a little bit lower number. We're able to bring some other county prisoners back in to assist us because we're actually most efficient when we're about full. But the fact of the matter is our work release facility in West Russell is in a state of needs to be replaced. It's also 4.5 acres on a golf course across the street from the new event center, so it's very valuable real estate. And so there's some good opportunities there for the development of that neighborhood, motels and restaurants going in and out there. So it's really the good time to move that property and to add an addition onto the downtown jail that will really just be replacing that correction center.
Go ahead.
We had had an estimate done of the cost if we were going to repair most of the stuff at the Community Correction Center, and that came in at a cost of almost $800,000. And so with the age of that building and some other issues with that building, we decided that that was not a good way to spend taxpayers' money.
And who's in that building now?
Currently, we're housing some work release, and we're housing jail overflow. So minimum and low medium security inmates that we would normally have at our downtown jail are being housed out there.
When you talk about inmates being pushed out or not having room for federal, where do they go? And is that a financial loss for the county then? Are you getting paid to house those people? Or how does that impact not having room for other counties?
Well, get about $80 to $90 a day when we rent beds out to other jurisdictions. And it was not uncommon to have over 100 rental beds in the last 4 years out at in the downtown jail. So that was about $8,000 a day in income to the county to help us offset our expenses for personnel and some of the other jail-related expenses, and we're also right in there the debt service on the jail facility. So the other jurisdictions actually were helping to pay for the building of the last jail that we had. that's kind of the plan going forward with the jail addition. We know that on opening day, because we're building for 10 years, we would likely have another 100 beds or so to rent to other jurisdictions, get that money, including debt service, including more money than our actual cost, and use that money to help offset those other expenses. And then as our own local needs grew and increased, we would reduce the number of those rental beds like we did the last time.
And when you ask where they're going, that's quickly becoming an issue for us as well, because we don't have the room for the feds right now in a big majority of Lincoln County. So they're going to other local jails, which would be like Yankton, Clay County, some of those. And so as our needs grow and we don't have any room for our prisoners, we're going to be in the same boat as them. However, the available jail beds out there are few and far between in this area. And so if we don't get moving forward and look ahead at our own current needs, we're going to be in the same situation as they are of trying to find, first of all, beds available, and secondly, then we'll be spending transportation costs and housing costs to house our own inmates if we get to that point.
So how close are we to getting to that point? How urgent is this conversation?
Well, if the commission said today we're going to move forward with building the new replacement for the CCC by adding 320 beds to the downtown jail, they said, let's go today, it would be 3 years till we open. So we're there. I mean, we are, and I think the commission realizes the need to replace the community correction center is immediate. And by immediate, that means it's a three-year plan. We could reach the point between now and then where we have to be renting beds. Quite frankly, if I have to rent 100 beds outside of this jurisdiction, I won't be able to find them within 200 miles of Sioux Falls. And so that'll mean deputy sheriffs on the road driving busloads of inmates to other jails across within a 200-mile radius to be housed, to be returned to our courts. I mean, it's very inefficient. It's extremely expensive. But it is in the future if this isn't addressed. And I believe the commission is addressing it. Where we're at right now is determining what that number is. We have the estimate from the same person that did our last estimate. But at the same time, we're doing justice reform at the local level and the county level. And it's hard to tell what the exact impact of some of those reforms would be. And so the tough position the commission is right now is, you know, what is that number? We're told we need 320 beds to handle our needs for the next 10 years. But it's probably about a $45 million project. And if for some reason justice reform would impact that by 50 or 75 or 100 beds, it could have savings. The trouble is we're up against this three-year window and don't want to get in the business of going out to rent beds. So there's some critical decisions the commission is looking at right now and will have to make within the next, 6 months.
Where, if those decisions are made to go ahead and build or expand, where's the new location going to be? It's not, I'm hearing it's not going to be where the old Elk Club was. You're looking at downtown?
The last time that we discussed this with the commission, it seemed to be the consensus that they're looking at the area that would be just east of the current downtown jail. And so we would have the need to replace some significant parking down there. So that's another one of the discussions we've been having with the city and some of the stakeholders to determine what can be done with parking, because we recognize that not only will we need significant parking, but even during construction phase, it takes up a large piece of land just to stage the construction. So all of those pieces are in the works when we discuss our needs. But for operationally, it makes the most sense for us to put it down there, because we obviously already have a facility down there. We have a lot of services that if we moved somewhere else would need to be duplicated, such as medical, transporting downtown to court. We come to court every day, numerous times during the day. And so there's just so many financial pieces that make building off-site really difficult, both financially and operationally. So to us, that's been our recommendation to the commission, and it seems to make the most sense for our operations.
Let's shift a little bit and go back to what you said, Sheriff Mills said, about justice reform. That's a big package. There's lots of moving parts to it. Where do you want to start with justice reform that we're seeing, that you're seeing in Minnehaha County?
Well, you know, I think Chief Boyd would agree that both of us would love to be on your show talking about no need to build additional jail beds in Minnehaha County. But the reality is, you know, we're looking at in the last 10 years, a 79% increase in felony case filings in the circuit. We're looking at a substantial increase of people who are charged with very serious crimes. At the same time, so that's increasing our demand on the jail, but at the same time, we're being really aggressive on alternatives to incarceration. For example, our 24/7 and SCRAM and twice-a-day alcohol testing and electronic monitoring. We're monitoring today more inmates or more people out of custody than we have in custody. We have over 700 people on these alternatives to incarceration who are either coming in and blowing in an alcohol meter twice a day, or they're on a bracelet, they've got an interlock in their car, they're getting a UA test on a regular basis, or we've got a drug patch on them. So we're doing those things very aggressively. We asked and got a grant from the governor's office to bring in the Criminal Justice Institute to study our system to see if there are other justice reform initiatives that could occur. And there are things that they're recommending, like the use of a risk assessment instrument by the courts to determine the risk certain people pose and whether or not maybe they could be released on some level of supervision as opposed to being held in jail. They're looking at things like better notification of court for defendants so that there's reminders, whether it's over the phone or a text or an email or whatever, to make sure that they know that tomorrow's their day in court at 9 o'clock so that they don't get a failure to appear. There's other reform possibilities that we're looking at in the area of mental health. Our county commission has just stepped up to the Stepping Up initiative, which is a national initiative that as a sheriff I agreed to. I know the Chief Justice of our Supreme Court is on board with the need to develop a mental illness task force to better understand the issue of mental illness in jails. Quite frankly, the statistics are kind of mind-boggling. There's 10 times as many individuals with severe mental illness in jails and prison than there are in state hospitals. There's at least 350,000 inmates with mental health issue in our nation's jails and prisons. Suicide's the leading cause of prisoner deaths in the U.S. and county jails. And so there's a lot of mental health issues that we have to deal with. And the Stepping Up initiative is a national initiative that we're looking at becoming involved in to try to provide better services for the mentally ill outside of the jail walls to make sure that, you know, they stay on their medication, that they stay, that there's good treatment available. And those are the types of things that I'm talking about that could impact our jail population.
So right now, as it stands today, if you have somebody with a severe mental health illness, they've committed a violent crime, they're in your jail, do you have a place that you can send them? Will they receive the treatment? Or are you having to provide all that mental health treatment right now in your facilities?
We have to provide it in our facility. And I don't think we're looking that you're going to build a mental health jail, because it's across the U.S. that's not going to happen. But the goal with Stepping Up is to try to provide more services on the front end to try to intercept people before they commit a crime. And then secondly, when people do commit a crime, once they do a reentry into the community, that there's sufficient resources in the community to direct them to. There's innovative ideas like the state of Minnesota that uses an assisted outpatient treatment for those people who don't like to stay on their medications, where they're actually forced to make sure that they take their medications every 2 weeks or whatever it may be, because they have mental health issues that medications happen to be very effective on, but they may be the type of person that doesn't like to take them. So there are, you know, good opportunities there. I will say that our county has the Alliance program, which operates out of our human services, and it's a very intensive case management program of addressing frequent flyer inmates and identifying people who have substance abuse, mental health issues, co-occurring disorders, and matching them with outside resources so when they get out of jail that they stay connected, they stay on their medication, or they stay in their treatment.
Go back to something you said earlier and tell me what a drug patch is. You said some people on a drug patch. I've not heard of that. What is that?
A drug patch is simply something that's on placed on your skin, and then it reads any, certain types of drugs that you may be ingesting. It comes out through the sweat, and then it lands on that drug patch, and it tests for drugs. When you remove it, we're able to send it in for testing. And, you know, it's a really good tool that we use. We use it a lot on drug court is one of the programs, the alternative programs that we have. And we use that in conjunction with your analysis testing because both of those can be, you can get around both a UA and a drug patch because it only tests for certain drugs. So sometimes that's used in conjunction with UAs.
So go over a little bit drug court, just briefly. Tell us more about what that is and your involvement with it.
Drug court's a program for people who are facing a penitentiary sentence. They have to agree to be in drug court. They have to come to drug court weekly, meet with their probation officer, and there is a group of us on drug court. There's judges, there's state's attorney, there's law enforcement, mental health, treatment, and we all work together to try to find the best program and the best needs assessment for each individual. And so we help them try to get through their addiction. We test them regularly. We help them find jobs. We help them to be better parents. We help them for housing and treatment. And so they have to abide by all of those rules and come to court. And if they successfully complete that, then they are graduate of drug court and do not have to go back or go to the penitentiary.
Veterans Court is new this week or very recently. Is that a similar model then?
It is. They're starting in January, and it's a little bit different. They have some resources, obviously, through the Vets Hospital that or the Vets program that they're able to access, but it has the same concept as far as trying to keep these people clean and sober and keep them out of jail and out of prison.
So lots of reform things already happening. Some possibly in the future being tested. Let's go back to the increase in felonies. Is that a nationwide trend? Is it a state trend? Is that in Sioux Falls? You mentioned the 79% number. Certainly our population has not increased 79%. Can you put that in context for us?
Well, you know, we live in a very safe community, one of the best places in America to live and raise your family. But quite frankly, if you listen to the radio, you watch TV, or read the morning paper, you're going to see violent crimes occurring. You're going to see rapes, robberies, you know, significant increase in robbery cases over the last 10 years. You're going to see home invasion or burglaries, car hoppings, aggravated assaults, assaults against officers, shootings, homicides. We have quite a mix of those in our community. And so we have to make sure that we have sufficient secure jail beds to house people that are charged with those crimes, because with all these pretrial services and the idea of risk assessments and instruments, those people that commit those types of crime aren't going to be out until their day in court. They're going to have to be in custody, and we need to make sure we have a sufficient number of beds for those people.
And those are the people you're talking about the new facility would be for. So when you talk about needing new beds, you're not talking about a marijuana user. You're talking about these a more violent situation.
You know, for some of your listeners, probably one of the easiest things to do if you wanted to get a sense of who's in jail is if you go to the MinnehahaCounty.org website. There's a link under the sheriff's office that says who's behind bars. And we update it every 15 minutes. It's got everybody that I have in custody today. There will be about 600 names on there. And just look and see who it's got, who's in custody by their name, but also it lists their charges. And you're going to see that most of the people in our custody are in on high risk offenses and oftentimes multiple offenses. If you see anybody listed in our jail that says that it was misdemeanor possession of marijuana, it's because maybe they're being processed through booking during that 15 minutes and they're going to be released out. The people taking up jail bed cells in our downtown jail are people with primarily serious offenses or high bonds, or they have a bad history with the court and they fail to appear.
That was Minnehaha County Sheriff Mike Milstead and Chief Deputy Michelle Boyd talking with us from the South Dakota Public Broadcasting Studios at the University of Sioux Falls.